We missed a week. We're back now with an epic mini-series event podcast next on Android App Addicts. Everybody, welcome to Android App Addicts episode 509. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Doors Diet, barbecue, game consoles, whatever else happens to cross our mind because it's our show and we can do that. My name is Mark, your rambling host, and the guys you're really here to see are, of course, Eric, the manager Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin. Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
What's going on, nerds? I tell you what, man, I can feel it that I took 2 weeks off of this show. My tank is full. There's that little black pressure relief valve up on the top right of it. So that thing's just spewing some kind of a steam out nonstop. But yeah, we're ready for another show. How are you, Mark?
You know, I'm doing all right. I too missed at least a week, I think. Yeah, 1 week because, you know, my concert week is a couple of weeks ago. Doors concert week was last week. But that's all over. School was out. And so I have no expectations of me except that every day my kids wake up and say, what are we doing today? I don't know. I'm going to work. I don't know what you're doing. you have that problem?
No. My kids both visited a college today to go see if they want to go there together. And I went to work. I knew that they were going to do that. They got cars, Mark. I mean, they just go do stuff.
Well, I mean, it's just reaching back into your distant past was that a problem, yeah. You know, because the question is, what are we doing today? And if the answer isn't spending copious amounts of my money on frivolous stuff, then the whole day's a waste.
That's what needs to be done. That's what they have in mind when they wake up and ask that
whatever
question.
That is. Yeah. Bowling, skating, water park, you know, just if I'm not hemorrhaging money, then the whole day's a waste.
Yeah. We found free stuff. We were pretty poor, you know, up until I started on the show. Yeah. Now I'm rolling in it.
Dor, how about you?
You're rolling in something, Eric, that's for sure. Normal, insane craziness. Birthday, another year older. At the same time, people talk about lowering the age of when you should get a butt check.
But my
doctor isn't hip on that news yet, thank God. My oldest son got jumped and beat up on the way home from school in our driveway after he went to pick up his younger brother and come back into the house. My oldest son is very non-combative, non-violent, non-mean, non-aggressive. He's very much a nice pacifist guy kind of thing. And he's on steroids. So if anybody would have the excuse for just beating the crap out of somebody, it's him. But he basically was walking home. He told his little brother to hurry up. Two kids behind him screamed, "Hey, that's child abuse." Oldest son just, as he was walking, turned around and said, "I'm a kid. I can't do child abuse." Kept walking. Walked up into the driveway to come into the house. The kid from behind pushed him because my son has no balance. He fell. And then the kid basically pushed my son's head against the concrete. I don't want to say slammed his head against the concrete, but kind of slammed his head against the concrete. And then after a second or two, my oldest son got up and he was walking away. So my oldest son just got up, unlocked the door, came in the house. Next day, he goes back to pick his brother up again from elementary school. Turns out the kid that jumped him 2 years younger in elementary school. The other kid, because there's two kids, walked out and said, "Hey, the other kid didn't come to school today because he was afraid that you were going to beat him up."
Awesome. That's cool.
And my oldest son and my youngest son told me as well that my oldest son just turned to him and said, "What?" And then he said it again. And then my oldest son just laughed and said, "Fighting doesn't fix anything."
Nice. That's good parenting, Dor.
But dude, Mark, you have no idea how proud I am. But I feel only minusculely involved in that decision process. Genes only kind of thing go into that. And then today when I went to pick him up, because I had a hat off work because I thought I had a doctor's appointment, two teachers came out and they were going to walk my kids home. Because they wanted to spot the other kids and they wanted to know who they were because they wanted to get the kids in trouble. Hmm. So not only is my oldest son making, as far as I'm concerned, the hard decisions, the right decisions, there are actually government employees working as teachers in the state of Maryland that actually care about their students' families' well-being. So it turned out to be an okay week.
It's good to hear a story like that from you, Dor. You usually don't have a whole lot of
I know.
Good stuff like that.
It usually ends up in the emergency room.
Well, I mean, even with the teachers. Hey, you guys got flooding there?
Me, no, because for when I bought my house, the home inspector said for water to be approaching your property, Baltimore City will have to be 30 feet underwater.
Oh, what a great thought that is.
Which I know, but my mother-in-law was involved in my house buying. She's been in the business 30 years, so she knows what to buy. I knew that going into the deal, so I knew I wasn't going to buy something, you know, like something obviously in a flood area that would flood, you know, like multiple times in 10 years. Like the friendly, nice people in Ellicott City, not Ellicott City or however.
Isn't that elegant? I heard Ellicott City.
And I heard all kinds of misspeakings. Ellicott is how it's pronounced. Ellicott City, which it's clearly, if you look at a topographical map, there's not mountains, but there's large hills surrounding it. It's in a valley going down to the Patapsco River. It's where water's supposed to go. So, and it just happened like 2 or 3 years ago, 6 feet of water. Somebody died. And then they, well, let's rebuild. You know, I don't understand those people. I don't want to understand these people, but I hope, you know, less of them died the next time.
Yeah, the trouble is you can't actually sell your land once you've been flooded out of it. So you either rebuild or you just chalk it up and you're lost it. So
I don't know. I'm not going to say you're wrong because I know you know. I'll just say news just happens to find the people who say stuff like, "Nah, I'm going to rebuild. I ain't going nowhere. When it's my time, God's going to take me."
By flood because you chose to live in a valley.
Yeah, I don't know. So it could have been bad up by here. Worst case scenario, it would have been difficult for me to get out of my neighborhood, but nothing fell around me. Now, my dad, on the other hand, lives south of Baltimore City. He had two trees fall through his roof, not into his roof, but literally holes through the roof, through the ceiling, down into like the house.
Oh, man.
He wasn't home when it happened, which was good. So now he's staying in a hotel for I don't know how long until they get it fixed.
I went on a bus trip last week when I was in Norfolk, and they talked about, it was a bus trip all about water conservation, and they talked about how the Chrysler Art Museum floods every time the tide rises and it rains any bit, and we talked about the things that you can do as a coastal city to keep back the water. It's a big deal out there.
When I bought my house, they had the disclosure thing, and it said that during what they called a 1,000-year rain event, the lowest 6 inches of the basement sliding glass door flooded. I thought, all right, I'm going to take those odds. I think that's okay.
I know, but the difference is you understand the odds. The odds aren't that it's going to happen once in 1,000 years.
Right.
The odds are basically every year you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of it happening.
Right.
Which if you know odds and statistics, that's not really a lot.
Has it happened yet, Mark? Yeah.
No. No water has even gotten near the house in the 2 years I've lived here.
It's good. I bought this house with a wet basement, and it was just simple fixes. I bought this house as is, no disclosure. The guy I bought it from was dead, so he couldn't disclose anything. And actually, it is, well, not simple fixes, but some, you know, trips to Menards. We got her fixed up.
Menards is a hardware store?
I don't know. Menards? Oh, do I need to send you a hat?
Menards is like an everything store. It's like Walmart.
It's
less corporate, maybe.
It's the best bacon store you can buy. It's the best place to buy bacon in this town, but they only carry it like every third week of the month. It's weird.
You have his attention.
Oh, it's such good bacon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just looking at locations. There doesn't appear any to be one anywhere within, let's see. Yeah, oh, okay, there is one.
And Paul Menard drives the Menards car in the NASCAR series.
Oh, no, that's not a Menard store. That's somebody named Menard, a doctor. So,
Dr. Menard?
Yeah.
That's catchy. I like
M-E-N-A-R-D?
It. M-E-N-A-R-D, yeah.
Apparently, Google's never heard of them either.
Menards. Oh, it's an S. Menards.
Yeah.
Just put Menards Lumber. I don't know. Something like
that. Yeah, I mean, it's showing up. Like, it's a store, but it's like nowhere near me.
Right. Yeah, I think we don't have a Home Depot or a Lowe's, though. Oh, yeah, there you go. See, Dor's flashing a Menards hat right there. You need one of them?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
I'll hook you up. I'll hook
Send
you up.
Send me a hat.
Because sometimes they offer those and t-shirts for free.
I actually have, as you might not have figured out about me over the last couple of years, I have strong opinions about a number of things. And one of which is I refuse to pay for the privilege of being somebody's billboard. I will, you know, like I'm not going to buy a hat with a Coors logo on it or something like that. And if you give me one, I'm probably just going to wear it around the house. I only advertise things I really care about. I have a Podnuts hat. I wear that one. You know, I only advertise things I really like, but, stores giving me free stuff. It's like, or worse yet, charging me, you know, like when I go to a store and it's like, you know, buy an Old Navy branded t-shirt with the Old Navy logo on it for $10. Are you kidding me? You should be paying me $10 to wear the shirt.
I kind of agree to that. The, Menards shirts, you got to pay $5, but then they send you a rebate coupon for $5. That's Menards' gimmick, is everything's a rebate, and then they send you coupons back for the money in an in-store credit. I'm going to spend the money there anyway. I might as well just take the freebie. You know what I mean? I'm definitely going to go there and spend $5 at least three times next week. So
there is literally not a Menards. I'm looking at their store locator south of Missouri. They just stops at the Arkansas border. That's it. We're done. We don't do Southerners.
Well, then you get your next trip north, man. It's an experience, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And honestly, Mark, I'm the same way, unless it's an underdog. That's one thing I think I've learned about myself. Like if I'm going to Disney and I want to get a hoodie, if I find something with a small, like, Empire logo on it, hey, that's fine. And then I turn the jacket around and the whole back's covered with something basically advertised. No, I'm not your personal advertising space, and you only to pay $85 for a jacket. You must be hot. You know, no. Same thing with shirts, same thing with hats. I'm very finicky about that stuff. But it just seems to me the bigger the corporation, the less likely I'm going to wear that corporation stuff. Unless it's a free HP jacket from OLF, which I've been wearing now for 2 years.
Yeah, that makes it. That's fine.
But, you know, I always tell people it isn't HP, and I tilt the sleeve up so the H and the P are upside down. I say it's a DY or whatever it looks like upside down. I can't remember.
Well, this hat, I'll wear this. This is where my wife works. Where she works gives great swag to the employees. So
yeah, my company is always, you know, here's your thank you gift. It's something with our logo on it. We get one every year, you know, a t-shirt or a mug or a lunchbox. It's like, no, you're just making me your banner. I don't want that. I mean, thank you, but no.
And then there's the companies you really don't want to work for that give you that stuff. And they're like, could you just give me maybe an extra dollar an hour instead of spending $500 on this thing you just gave me that I don't need?
Yeah, my work gives me stuff with my work's name on it. I'm not wearing that on the public. People hate us.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, DMV stuff.
Dude.
Oh.
Any government agency. It's a government agency. Who loves government agencies?
Hey,
who says, oh, Department of Public Works. I love those guys.
I got a City of Rock Falls mustache beard competition shirt. I sport that because I won that by being in it. I like that one.
All
it's got
right,
a big mustache on it. Let's play some. Dude, I need to get rid of these apps.
Before we do that, any fancy hardware? Any new gear to talk about?
Well, Project Fi opened up a little bit of the floodgate to let a few more phones in aren't Pixels. So that's kind of cool. I don't.
Yeah, if they were good phones, it would be even better. But to me, they're very meh.
Are they right around like that Motorola one that they already had? Not much more than that, then? Or?
That and then the new Think.
Yeah.
LG ThinQ. Yeah. They're going to be complete flops because it's LG. That's what they do best. No other real hardware things that I've seen that have impressed me to even the nth degree, including the OnePlus 6 with the stupid notch. The only news is not going to be prevalent in phones for like another year and a half, 2 years, which is the brand new ARM Mali GPU series that they've been promising now for over a year. They just announced the specs for, so they'll be in production devices in like a year and a half, which means all microcomputers, phones will have the availability of a much, much higher end video processing unit. What that is going to enable is, to be honest, I hate saying this, but you can have literal millions of mobile crypto mining devices, which could make the thought of crypto much more ubiquitous, especially if you don't need a terabyte of hard drive space. But also just advanced graphics can be simpler. is the hope.
Did you see the motherboard that they just came out with? It's got 20 GPU slots on it.
Yeah, I saw that.
That looks like fun. I like that.
So I got an email from Motorola, because I'm a many-time Motorola customer, about their new Moto G6. I had the opportunity to pre-order it for $249. I don't know if that's a discount off of what it's going to be, but $249 is cheap.
Yeah.
And the Moto G series has been my go-to kid phone. I mean, it's got everything you need for a passive user. It's not going to be good for a power user. I didn't pull the trigger on it, but I haven't not pulled the trigger on it yet either. $249 for the sixth generation Moto G. I got birthdays coming up left and right, and it's probably something I'm considering. I love those low-end entry model phones. I think those are the sweet spot right now.
Some people love those G phones a lot.
Well, I don't like calling them cheap. They're just affordable.
G phones, not cheap. G phones.
Yeah. They're just affordable phones with very reasonable specs. Right.
I mean, they were the flagship phone 4 years ago. Yeah. And so, yeah, my daughter has the G3, and my oldest has the G3, and my youngest middle one has the G4. And so the G3 is coming up on 3 years old, you know, and still ticking. You know, when you give something on to a 13-year-old, an electronic device, and it lasts 3 years, that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, that ain't no Samsung.
So I'm a little excited isn't really the word, but I'm intrigued by the opportunity to purchase that. What I expect is going to be a solid phone. Now they could let me down. You know, I just blanked on the name of the company.
Motorola.
OnePlus. The first Google manufacturer.
HTC.
HTC. They used to make great phones, and then they forgot how to make great phones. So you know, there's always that possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say I told everyone so, but Essential leaked some information out about, I believe, terminations and cancellation of products. I'm going to be shocked if in a year there's still a name that anyone ever mentions again. It's just really, really hard to break through.
All right, now, Eric.
Okay.
Begin the fusillade, the avalanche of apps.
Okay, the first two I want to bring aren't really, I mean, they're kind of like apps, but they're apps that we already have. But I wanted to talk about the updates. One is to the YouTube Music app. Are you familiar with the YouTube Music app?
No.
It's kind of part of the YouTube Red experience. And
Which I just Google canceled, Music. By the way.
Did you? Okay, well.
Yeah. No, Google is canceling Google Music.
And
no,
switching it over.
I just canceled my YouTube Red is what I'm saying. I did the 1 free month. Didn't see enough value in it to continue. Canceled it. Yeah, I know you guys are big on it. It's just not for me.
I'm all in on the Google Music. I don't use Spotify or anything else. So that's at least half of the reason I use it. But then it's just the not seeing the commercials is so nice on YouTube. And I watch a lot of YouTube. So this is the YouTube Music. And basically it's kind of Google Music moving away from that. The interface is similar. I actually like the looks of the YouTube Music app better than Google Music. This one has a little bit better music discovery if you're not sure what you want to listen to, if you don't want to listen to the same stuff all the time, because I'm always looking for something new. And then to easily, you know, if you're going in your house or you're on Wi-Fi or whatever and you want to watch videos for everything, they're right there. If they've got a video for it, it'll bring it right up. Last night, here's a little something. If you've never checked it out, watch some videos for Puddles Pity Party. I'm just throwing that out there. Do a Google search for Puddles Pity Party and give yourself a good hour.
Is that Puddles the Clown?
Yep.
That sings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he is. So this,
I don't know. You might be throwing it, but I'm actively ducking for now.
No, it's good. You might. I listened to Puddles Sing Kansas last night. You know, there's all kinds of genres.
Dude can wail.
Yeah, he's really good. So YouTube Music, give it a look at. I'm not sure how it works without Red. I mean, if it's still as good or not. And the second update of a Google app I wanted to bring too, this is a major redo on Google's part, is the Google Play Games app, something I've never really looked at, you know, much, you know, back when it first came out, you know, it kind of keeps your game progresses saved and your and your ranking amongst other players. But now it has an interface where it launches games right from this app itself. And then there's free games already included in there, like Solitaire and stuff that you don't even have included on your phone. Just some pretty basic games, but then the games that you've downloaded are also in there. And it's just a really nice new interface. I was really surprised by the other day. Those are my two updates from the tank.
Yeah, I think the Google Play game, is it a new app or newly updated? It came to my attention just recently, completely accidentally. I thought I was launching Google Play, and I launched the Google Play Store, and I launched Google Play Games. And, of course, the first thing it wanted me to do is create a profile. And I thought, I already have a profile. What is it? So I was very much like your grandmother when she got a cell phone for the first time. I was very confused. I don't know what button to push. But anyway, that was my experience with Google Play Games. So is it like a new version of it?
Yeah, they must. It's got to be a major redo on that app, because I don't remember it being anything like that. And it's actually very nice, cool, and easy to use, I think, now, where I never thought of it as being really useful much at all before.
Well, a Google user says, a pointless and ever-increasing waste of space that I was forced to download so I could download other games and play them. Also eats data and battery life while simultaneously causing much longer load times. So he really liked it.
Was that a recent?
May 31st, 2018.
Oh, well, he never saw the old one then. It's like the family truckster. You think you hate it now, wait till you drive it.
Change his name to La Train. Do not ever want to show off my score to anybody, ever. I never, ever want to say, look at my ranking. I never, ever want to say, hey, blah, 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 you should download this and play against me. I'm never saying that in any form or fashion. I never need my game progress saved. I've never had a game where I blank and you reinstall, I'm mad. Oh man, I lost all my progress. I guess I don't play enough Candy Crush or something to care about that. I took this as being just another level of bloat that I just don't want on my phone. I'm obviously not the target audience with 6.5 million installs. Granted, it comes by default on a lot of devices, but I do believe there are plenty of people out there that definitely enjoy the social. I almost threw up on my mouth, sorry.
Comes with free Pac-Man.
What's new in 5.8? Like, Snake is now a built-in game. So, oh, you know, there's
Snake's,
that.
Snake's a little cool, too. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure Google's doing this for a reason, and I'm sure people out there love this app.
Well, the Google has always been comfortable with sucking at first and then gradually getting better. Not many companies are willing to do that. So, you know, we may be sitting here in 14 months talking about what an awesome powerhouse this app is. That's the way Google does things. But yeah, I'm with you, Dora. I don't get it.
It could be somebody who's new to an Android phone, like, oh, Google Play Games. Oh, I didn't realize you could put games on them. And then they go there.
And maybe they're going to change it from the Google Play Store to just the Google Store.
That would be an obvious great idea.
I don't think it's going to be the Play Store for much longer, because they're trying to push media and books and audiobooks and all that stuff. And the name Play just messes with it. So I think this is the first step into rebranding the Play Store into the Google Store.
But that's Play Games, though. Not Google
Games. Of course.
Games. Well, Google Play actually, Games. Google Games is what I tried to do the search for, and nothing came up.
Yeah, and I would say for the people that continue to listen to the show, when it says stuff like, find something fun in our new trending or editor's choice, me, at least, I almost never bring something that is in somebody's trending or editor's choice listing for a reason. Because my logic is 99.999% of the apps in those lists, you people have already seen or heard of, or somebody won't shut up about. So I don't bring them. I try to find the other off hidden gems, if you will.
And I'll go mainstream for y'all.
Well, you can, but like Snake is not going to make me do anything.
Hey, Snake was a great game on my first cell phone.
Yes, but times have changed. There was a time when I was the control for the TV. Dad would say, change it to channel 13, and I'll change the channel. Now we have a little device that does it.
Eric, you're about two decades too old to be mainstream. That ship has long sailed.
Oh, you haven't seen my app drawer here. Just wait.
All right, well, before you flood us all, Dora, why don't you bring us a couple?
Okay, the first one I'm going to bring, my stuff is out of order. This is not a screen just jump. This is not a app for me, but I can see this being an extremely useful app to a lot of people out there. This is called Goodreads Beta by Goodreads Book and Reference, E for Everyone, completely free to download, no in-app ads, no in-purchases. Average reviews of it doesn't say because it's in beta. Huh? That's right. Updated May 30th. Size varies with device. 10,000 plus installs. No content ratings like that. What this is think of it as a book caretaker, a book concierge service, if you will. You can link this to like your Amazon account or other book service type places, and it can bring in things like ISDN numbers, covers. You can mark that you've read something. It can find likes and see and say, well, you might like this as well. This is a social connected app as well, where you can connect with other people on the app and you can compare what kind of books I read versus what kind of books you read, and might find somebody with some similar taste and find some gems that way. So if you're a book reader or you listen to audiobooks, I would say this might be an app to where you could like keep a track of what you read and what you want to listen to.
Yeah, Goodreads, the website, has been around for a very long time and is widely used by thousands of book-loving individuals. This is just the appification of that website. It's a whole community of book lovers there. You can cultivate your list and share your list with others. And it, you know, it's literally saying, this is a good read, and this is what I think about it. So it's individual reviews, and you can curate your own list of people who have the same sort of tastes that you do. I personally am not a big Goodreads user, but I know people who are. The people who just love the smell of musty paper are all over the Goodreads web. It's like the one website that they deign to look at, that it's not made of paper. And so I'm curious to see if an app version of a website for people who don't like tech is going to take off, but we'll see.
As long as they can install it on a Nook, that'd be fine.
There you go. There you go. Or Kindle Fire. Yep. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Kindle Fire. Yeah. Oh, I got a book story since we're on books. Okay, so I read this book. It's called Shoot Like a Girl, as by a girl named MJ. She's like our age, and she got back from her third term in Afghanistan, got shot while she was rescuing some people out of a helicopter. So she wrote this book about all of her experiences going up and going through the Army or whatever. Not even Army. Air Force and stuff. Anyway, I helped her get in. I didn't realize she was going to be our keynote speaker. So I helped her in because she was like on a walker thing, and she signed my book for me. And they're making her book into a movie, and Angelina Jolie is starring as her. I'm like, that was pretty cool for somebody my age like that. That's kind of neat.
Okay.
And I liked her book before I even realized that I was going to meet her in person. So that's kind of cool. All right, next. Sorry about that. Did you have more about Goodreads?
No, I don't. I don't read nothing. I mean, I don't even read the manual when I buy something. This app was brought to us, I believe, in our Google Plus group. I want to say by Ivor, possibly.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I could be very mistaken. This app was made for somebody, I think, who does a show like this, or somebody who considers themselves a educated fan of Android and devices and then listening to this show kind of thing. This is called Smartphone Tycoon by Roastery Games. It's marked as a simulation game. E for Everyone does have in-app ads, does have in-app purchases. Completely free to download. 28,000 reviews. Looks like 3.75 star review. Yeah, 3.7 average reviews. Right now, updated May 29th, 2018. 1 million plus installs. Current version 1.1.2. Need Android 4.0 and up. This is the app where you can go in, customize a phone from scratch, put the camera where you want it, the bezel where you want it, the thickness where you want it. You can define what is the front camera like, what is the back camera like, and you can go through the whole simulation of basically designing your own phone. And then you can take it through marketing and launch and see how much it sells, for instance, kind of. I just thought this was an interesting enough app to bring to our show.
Did you try it?
I do think I downloaded it, but I don't think I launched it.
I couldn't make it work. I mean, I tried to build a phone and go with it, but I just, there was something I couldn't get. I don't even remember. It's been a couple of weeks. There's something I couldn't get past, and I'm like, man, I guess I'm not going to be a you know, smartphone tycoon. I tried a couple times, and I think it was the same place that failed on me, or I just couldn't get. Oh no, it was the hiring of people. When I hired my people, and then I couldn't get past that. That's what it was.
Yeah, there's a couple of reviews that say the same thing.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, good. At least I'm not alone in my tycoonishness.
Well, first off, Eric, you're never alone.
Oh.
Let's just get that straight. I'll just say again, I think this is an interesting enough app. If it at all piqued your curiosity, it's free to download and play with. See if it is that thing. Like, I was a fan of the old Game Dev Studio, where you would, you know, hire people, not really design games, but go through concepts of games and launch games and see if you could sell enough to make money to grow your office kind of thing. So this is kind of like a thing of that, but it looks like it's much more heavily focused on the details of the phone and not just calling a phone a name.
And you know me, I was just going to bump up every option to the top, you know, the max out camera, max out everything.
Yeah, but then it's like a $1,200 phone or something.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how much it would be. Then the marketing has to kick in. You got to be a good marketer after that.
It'd be interesting if this was really an app by a design company waiting to crowdsource the design for their next phone.
Oh,
and they fed it with metrics that are real-world metrics, the things that, you know, based on size, you could only put this in, and based on cost, it would be this much. You know, and if 10 months from now, they have crowdsourced the next great phone.
Right, yeah, yeah. What will the people do without to make a great phone? And we'll just leave that piece out next time.
Yeah, like one of the comments said you can't put a headphone jack on it. So
at all? Know. That's, oh, wow. It's already high-end then. Must be really nice if you can't have a headphone jack.
Yeah, once you start taking stuff away, that's when you know it's serious. You know, once Apple took the floppy disk away, that's when people took them seriously. All right, so you mentioned Ivor. Let's read an email from the very same man. He says, rooting and ROMing, not so fast, says AT&T. Hey guys, ever since October 2015, I've salivated over one phone, the LG V10. When it came out, I was the proud owner of an LG G4 with the ox blood leather back. To this day, that phone remains my favorite, and I considered the V10 to be the next step in my upgrade roadmap. However, the G4 was so good, I held on to it for over 2 years, and I've been experimenting with the cheaper Chinese phones ever since. Then one day, I was browsing our equivalent of eBay, and I came across an auction for a refurbished LG V10. So I snatched it up for about $100 US. Finally, the phone of my dreams was actually mine for a decent price. I realized it came with a rather ancient Android 5.1 Lollipop operating system, but I knew from looking at other websites that it would be possible to upgrade it to Android 7. So I would just have to unlock the bootloader and install a custom ROM, which would be based on Android 7, and I would be away. Not so fast. When I got the phone, I noticed the AT&T startup screen, then I had to metric crap ton of AT&T bloatware, then I went to unlock the bootloader, I discovered that the particular modder, the H900, cannot have its bootloader unlocked, through legal means anyway, so I was stuck with a phone that was bloated with crapware and would never be able to be upgraded, ever. I did manage to root the device and remove some pre-installed bloatware thanks to the XDA forums. That was a really very useful site with a lot of information about my phone and how to do things to it that were never meant to be done by your average schlumpy user. So a warning to anyone who's looking at buying an older phone with the intention of possibly flashing the ROM, check on the XDA forums first. And no matter what you do, don't touch an AT&T refurb with a 10-foot pole. Battery at 34%, Ivor.
Good email, Ivor. I didn't realize that that the expression 10-foot pole was even used in metric in countries like that. I thought it'd be like the 3-meter pole or something. That's neat. Thanks, Ivor.
Having been forced to use AT&T for years because when I lived in Texas, they were the only people that had towers around me. It was AT&T or it was rocks. There was just not an option. I am personally well familiar with AT&T crapware that they load on their phone. And yes, they are all crackable. But you have to completely obliterate all security features and go past several warnings that say the FBI will kill you if you do this. But they are doable, and I have rooted and ROMed many AT&T phones. But remember, when you buy a phone from a company like that, you're buying a company phone. Now, you're a secondary purchaser, but that's the thing that this whole ecosystem of people not really buying their phones, but leasing their phones or renting their phones or buying a subsidized phones, this is what you get into. Not only did the original owner have to put up with AT&T's crapware, but now you as the secondary owner have to put up with it. Also that, you know, maybe you may be the second or third or fourth owner even. Also that the first owner didn't actually have to buy the phone. They could buy a subsidized knockoff version of the phone. When you do that, you don't own your device, as Dora likes to say.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say, whenever you're dealing with a world manufacturer, not just, you know, a small manufacturer, honestly, like OnePlus, whenever you're dealing with a world manufacturer, they use model names very easily. Even though, you know, that phone had one model, there was probably like six of them. So whenever I'm looking for a phone for somebody, the first thing I do is I go and I do my research and find the exact model numbers applicable to that device. And if I only find one model number for that device, then I feel safe when I go to XDA and I, you know, say, oh, well, yes, you can put another OS on it. But if it's a world phone, I always get that model number and look for that inside of XDA. And that's when you find out, oh, this is the X version, and with this version, this is different. And that's where you can get into a lot of trouble. I know that's how I got into trouble with a Note 3 I had, I want to say. Had it for a week. Got to get rid of that piece of crap. Oh, my God, it was so bad.
Well, Samsung's will do, like, Exynos in the rest of the world, but then they'll use a, you know, an ARM chip over here. Or vice versa. They'll use a totally different chip in the same model or named phone.
Yeah, typically the worst ones for it are Samsung, HTC, and LG to have the same phone name across continents, yet completely different things going on inside the device. So, yeah, you just got to really take your time. And here's the best thing, Ivor. It's always the wrong time to buy a phone. So never Yes. feel rushed. Always do a lot of research with any device because it doesn't matter. It's always the wrong time to buy a phone.
Ivor doesn't have much trouble buying phones, though, from what I gather. He's got some good experiments going with some cheap Chinese stuff that none of us will ever see, which sounds pretty fun.
All right, Eric, back to you.
All right, I'm going to bring, since it's spring, summerish time, I'm going to bring Carrot Weather Unreleased by Grailer LLC. This is an unreleased app still. It's a pretty decent app, but, you know, ever seen people post pictures of the snarky weather app and the funny thing it says or whatever? This is like one of those apps, but there's settings on it. We basically, you can tell it how you like to be politically and how bad do you want the jokes as far as cuss words and stuff like that. So I've got it on moderate, and I'm just going to pull it up, and it's got a lot of information. So that's something weird, but it's got a lot of nice, good looking weather app. The only thing is it doesn't have the radar on it. But it's free with ads. The premium club gives you a bunch of extra features, such as, like, you can go back at any time in the last 70 years to find out what the temperature was on a certain day, if you're into that, if you need that kind of extra information, that they offer it at a price. And I did not.
If you need that, I think you need to sit down with somebody and talk about issues you're having, because that's entirely unnecessary.
I've got the personality set to homicidal now and the politics set to libertarian, and that was the joke it gave me. But you can do personality of friendly, snarky, homicidal, or overkill.
Well, the number one question, Eric, do you know what it means to be libertarian?
Overkill includes profanity.
I have to ask you, because on another show they brought this app and the person literally had the audacity to say on the show, I don't know what it means.
I would say a libertarian would allow you to do anything you want, really. It's like get the government out of the way, mostly, except for very little bits.
Unless you're hurting somebody else, I don't care what you're doing.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Essentially, it's a lot more.
So you've heard a review of this app already. So, liberal, conservative, centrist, libertarian, communist, or apolitical? Or you're...
Well, where's the other setting? The Roseanne Barr setting.
Well,
shouldn't that be there?
Isn't she Republican?
He said communist.
Oh yeah, Republican's so not on there. Conservative. She must be conservative.
I know she's far more than that.
I don't know. I didn't even watch 1 second of her new show, so I can't say much about where she sits politically. All I can go by is what I hear on the news or whatever.
all I know is I never watched the second of the first show.
You didn't?
And I, no, of course
not. When you were
and
a kid, you didn't watch Roseanne?
Hell no, I couldn't stand, Two things. One, I would love it if ABC, the family network owned by Disney, would fire Roseanne from the show, hire everybody else, call the show Dan, and then have nobody speak about what happened to Roseanne because it upsets Dan too much. And then just keep going on with their show.
Oh, that would be awesome, man.
Because so many people lost their job. And here's the thing. Roseanne, I'll say after the Ambien wore off or whatever the hell her excuse is.
Yeah.
She did apologize for everybody that lost their jobs. I'll say this. It's a shame when so many people have to lose their job from one person's moronicity. But two, we also learned from firsthand source that racism is not, in fact, a side effect of Ambien.
Yeah, I just stay away from the prescription drugs, and I don't tweet. So,
yeah, I can't stand Twitter.
Are we gonna do these apps and twos the whole show?
Sure, why not?
Okay,
Noah's Appcade.
All right, my next app is so Jurassic World Alive by Ludia Inc. There's a new movie coming out. I think it's Jurassic World. I don't know. There's a
Jurassic
new movie.
World 2. Yes.
So it's timely that it is based on an island, a big island, full of volcanoes, you know, and going to kill
it's
all these.
Not full of volcanoes.
I don't know. Anyway, so back to the app. This app is kind of like Pokemon Go or Ingress because it uses Ingress. Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time since I said that word. It didn't sound right. It's kind of like that. It uses Google Maps to show you where you're at in the world and then superimposes dinosaurs onto your neighborhood. So then when you get close enough to them, you tap on them, and then you fly a drone over them. And at first I thought I was shooting them from the drone, but you're actually shooting needles at them instead. You're not just killing them. You're like trying to get their DNA or something, extracting that. But basically you're flying over them. You get a little crosshairs and you're shooting them from above on a drone. So then you shoot them enough times, you get to collect them. The DNA of that.
Are you tranking them maybe?
Like
maybe that's what the needles are, tranquilizers, and then you collect them?
You know, you don't actually see a needle. I'm just going by, it said something about DNA, so I figured that must have been it. You don't see a needle. It does feel exactly like you're shooting them from a small aerial drone. And then you collect them. As you would in a little kid's game like this, but then you can fight them against your friends, or you can just take and then you go into the AR augmented reality thing, hold your phone up, and you can just set them in your world, like, and then take pictures of yourself, you know, posing as a selfie with them without having to get worried about getting mauled or eaten. But they're really noisy when you do the AR part. They're just growling, you know. Like I've never been around dinosaurs that much, but they're really noisy. But it's a fun game. I mean, I think as an adult, I would feel like I'm shooting them, which makes me feel better because it really does feel like you're shooting them. And then your batteries go dead on your drone. You can't fly too far, so you actually have to do some physical walking or buy upgraded batteries. Go ahead.
So you still have, to some degree, have to go places.
You do. Yeah, you do.
No matter.
Yeah, you can see them down the block a ways, but if you don't have an upgraded drone with the bigger battery pack to fly that far, you have to walk over there to get to them, which costs like $10.
Yeah, well, per month. Say if you didn't read the fine print, Jurassic World Alive offers a monthly subscription for $9.99. Note: prices may vary depending on sales tax or countries, which makes it sound like you get like a free month maybe in the beginning.
No, I tried to fly outside of my drone's capacity of battery, and it wanted me to pay $9.99 for the first month right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm not paying $10 a month.
But why would you? Then you just get out and walk a little bit.
Maybe not.
But there may be other perks. You know, I'm sure they're going to try to get you.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Probably I'm sure there other is. Stuff.
But. And we personally know people who, if they had to pay for Ingress, probably would have paid for it.
Yeah.
And that didn't have a drone in it. So, yeah, I could see people pay.
The AR is pretty good. Not quite as good as some of the other, like, Google AR stuff that's built into the Pixel. When you set your dinosaur down and you move your phone around it to kind of look at it, if you've got it sitting on your desk, it kind of moves a little bit when it shouldn't, but it's pretty good. Fairly well detailed, shades and rasters of these animals. I like it. I'm never going to go see the movie, in case you're watching or wondering.
Okay. Same here. Right. No inkling.
I did see the preview for it when I was watching Deadpool 2 the other night. You guys seen that yet?
Yeah. Oh. I didn't see Solo.
I didn't hear about. I didn't know Solo. I was the cool kid.
Dude, nobody saw Solo.
I had my choice to see a week old Deadpool 2 or the opening night of Solo. I took Deadpool 2.
I just want to say Solo is a solid movie. It's a B. A-, B. It's a solid movie.
And thing is, I want Ron Howard to succeed. I like Ron Howard.
Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian is inspired casting and an excellent performance. I think what the whole thing suffers from is what all of these Star Wars prequel movies are going to suffer from, is not at any point is there any real danger for the character, because you know what happens 25 years later.
Right.
Right. No matter how precarious the situation that Han and Chewie are in, you know going in that he's going to be fine. You know, because Han doesn't have a missing thumb or a scar. Right. So he got through his whole life with no significant damage. So no matter how many nuclear devices detonate near him, he's going to be fine. And that's why I think Rogue One was refreshing, in that, you know, they weren't afraid to completely clear the decks on that one. But I think that's what people are responding to Solo. It's a fine movie. It's not great. It's not bad. It's fine. It's 80 out of 100. But it's just, there's no real danger at any point to any of the characters.
Did you guys see Deadpool 1?
I did.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 is better. I don't think I've ever seen that. Well, said that hard, about a sequel.
Honestly.
It was hilarious.
I didn't like Deadpool 1 very much.
Oh, didn't you? I thought it was okay. This one I liked more.
It's just, and from what I hear about the second one, I like it even less, because it's just jokey, joke. And that gets tiring after about 40 minutes.
Oh, not for me. I'd go watch a stand-up comedian. That's fine with me.
Yeah. I liked Deadpool 1 only because Ryan Reynolds, I thought, did a good job in the role. The writing and everything was okay. Nothing great. Solo estimates, and Disney is now estimating, when it's all said and done, it will hopefully, they said, make as much as it cost to make, which in Disney terms is not good, very bad. They are suspecting it's because it's only been 5 months since the last Star Wars movie. It was not a key movie, and it came out in the middle of the summer, so I'm pretty sure Disney's going to change their Star Wars strategy based upon this. But I think you hit a very, very appropriate nail on the head there, Mark. Doesn't matter whatever danger they're in, we know they're going to come out of it completely unscathed.
Yeah.
To at least a large degree. Something might happen, but nothing very vital or crazy. And we also know that the ship's going to make it out fine too.
That's something I never thought about at all before, until you just brought it up.
They moved all the set pieces. This character met this character and this thing here, and the Millennium Falcon, and they did all those things happen, and there was winks and nods all the way through to old lines of dialogue, and it was all fine. But when it was over, I didn't find myself saying, I'm looking ready forward to the next one. I didn't care. It's like, okay, if there's a next one, I'm going to buy it because I'm a Star Wars nerd. Whatever they put out, I will lap up their pablum and pay them twice for it. And they know that. And so they don't really have to care all that much. But at the end of the movie, I was like, all right, I guess we'll see what happens next.
I went with my son, and he's like, oh, did you get that joke? Yeah. All these references to other comics and movies. I'm like, I got none of them. I had no idea. You know, they were just like right over my head. I'm like looking over at him. He's laughing, but I didn't get it. Some of the.
Well, I'll stick with everything made by Disney in the Star Wars universe is not for the fans of episode 4, 5, 6.
Right.
Because they're dying off and they need new money to refresh that Star Wars supply. And that's okay. I don't expect anybody to make content directed at me anymore, because I'm not the majority. I'm not the 18 to 30 year old male.
So
this may be Ron Howard's first experience with failure, though. I mean, he's awesome at everything he does, and this was not awesome. It was fine, just not great.
Will there be a timeline to watch them, or a series? So you got Solo in there, and you got the other one that they. Will there be a certain sequence to these that you should, when a couple of years down the road, when it's all
everybody will argue which is the right way to watch it. I'll say that. There will never be a everyone agrees this is the right pattern to watch it. Some people say you have to watch them in order they were made so you can understand the limitations of the cinematography. Then you have others say if you've never watched before, you should start at episode one. So then you don't know who's going to live, who's going to die kind of stories in there. So maybe in 30 years when there's a newborn kid and he watches it in this one order, it would be the best experience of everything for him. But
I'm just going to say, if you start your kid out with episode 1, 2, and 3, you're a monster who deserves to burn in hell.
Really?
I don't feel strongly about it at all.
Wow.
Because any kid after episode 1, if he doesn't need prescription drugs, I don't know what happened, because that is one of the worst movies in any kind of sci-fi world I've ever seen in my life.
Is that where Jar Jar Binks came in to play?
Not only that, but it completely robs you of the beauty of Empire, right? The no, I'm your father moment is the... That's the moment. And if you start out watching him give birth to his son, you know, it takes that whole thing away and completely robs the best part of the entire now nine movie arc of its punch.
Well, that, and you have to make kids sit down and listen to 20 minutes of lectures on tax
trade negotiations. And trade. Yeah.
No kid wants to watch that. No kid. No, I cannot picture there be a time when there's a sane kid who would enjoy that.
I don't remember that. I must have regressed that memory.
So, oh, man. It's like if the kid wants to watch the Matrix movie, you show them Matrix 1, and then you don't show them anything.
And the rest don't exist.
Yeah, I agree there.
Actually, the Matrix 2 wasn't bad. It was fine. You know, again, back to fine. But after the awesomeness that was the original one, it felt really bad.
So, yeah.
The Matrix 3, just we don't speak of it. All right, so...
When they added the extra pills, it just didn't have the same feel.
Dor, go ahead and bring us a couple of apps.
Okay, first one I'm going to bring, I thought, was a sister application of the website Product Chart. Product Chart is one of the websites I always use when I want to filter through the most popular laptops or tablets or phone and search for specific specs on those devices. And I thought this was a sister app to it. It isn't, but it isn't bad. This is called Product Hunt by Product Hunt. Social, E for everyone, completely free, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. 3.6 average reviews, updated May 31st, 2018, 10,000 plus installs, version 1.3.2, requires Android 4.1 and up. This is an app where you can basically go through a very graphical, to be honest, very nice interface, and you can find, search for specific types of content, whether it be apps, games, books, podcasts, news articles, all kinds of different content in different silos, I'll say, of searchable content. This is the app I honestly like to open when I don't want to open another app. I already went through the Google Plus feed. I already went through the Discord chat. I already went through the Mattermost chat. I already updated my Google Play apps. I already went into, you know, everything. I went into my Boxer. There's no more unread messages. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what am I going to do now? Because I am not going to open up Facebook, and opening up Twitter is a complete waste of time as well. So I open up right now Product Hunt.
I installed it. This looks really good. Even the third screenshot's got your smart ring. So that's pretty cool.
And of course, it's social. You can see what other friends are interested in.
Oh, maybe I can friend Dor on here. I'll try to do that tomorrow.
I wish you nothing but luck.
No, I'm definitely going to check it out. It's a good app, Dor. I like it, I think. It seems like I will.
Okay. This next one, I immediately, when I saw the screenshots of this, sent it to my son, my oldest son. He's a fan of horror movies. Since my father-in-law sat my wife in a movie theater to watch Nightmare on Elm Street when she was like 7 years old, now she believes it's completely appropriate for whatever my son's age is, it doesn't matter, to watch whatever she wants, whatever, it doesn't matter. So when I found a game called Death Coming by Next Studio Strategy, T for Teen, does have in-app purchases, completely free to download, no ads, 339 reviews, 3.8 average reviews, Updated May 30th, 2018, 10,000 plus installs, version 1.1.4.613, requires 4.0 and up, does have teen rating violence and blood in it. Because essentially, what happened was you as a character died, and then you have to basically help Death gather up all of the dead people, kind of. It's like dead human farming, I guess I would call it. I don't know. But, you know, it has the kind of graphics he seems to be gravitated towards, and it's about Death. So I think I found a winner in his book.
So it looks to me like a Rube Goldberg puzzle game where the objective is not to put a ball in a basket, but to kill people.
Kill as many people as possible. That's one of the things.
This looks cool.
Because like that game Plague, I want to say it was a game that was out like 2 years ago, where you design your infection, whether it be bacteria, virus, or whatever, then you decide how it propagates, what symptoms it shows, to try to kill the entire world as quick as possible. He really liked that game, so I figured he would like something like this as well. And he did install it. He did say it looked awesome, and at least in the first couple minutes, he said it was awesome.
Is this the one who refused to fight?
Yes.
It's because he had other plans for the kid.
I think you were onto something. I'm not going to say you're wrong, Mark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I am now terrified of your progeny.
Well, there's always the good sign, Mark, and that is he's like 3 states away from me.
Well, let me read a couple of emails then. You guys have been bringing the app, so let me have a request for an app. It's from John Bertram. He says, hello from the Big Island of Hawaii. Years ago, I had a flight tracking app that I loved. Unfortunately, the company went out of business and the app went away. Flight Aware seems to have become the most popular replacement since then, but I can't stand it. It never notifies me when my wife's plane arrives 30 minutes early, which is common here in Hawaii. I'm looking for suggestions for an app that does the basics and does it well. I want it to ping me when a flight takes off, when it lands, and when there's any deviation from the projected departure or arrival time. There's so many flight tracking apps that it gets difficult to decide. I'm happy to pay for it, and I hate ads. Do you gentlemen have a favorite flight tracker? Mahalo Nui Loa, John Bertram, a.k.a. Island of Tiki. And, the reason I said his name is because he says you're welcome to use my real name and handle. I don't, as a rule, read last names unless you tell me it's okay. So for future reference, if you want me to say your full name, tell me it's okay in the email. So, guys, any ideas?
I don't think that his request is unreasonable at all to have those simple things happen. I wouldn't use it.
I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting. Wouldn't the Delta or the flight, the company's apps do that? Or are we talking really small planes?
Well, yeah, the company, the Delta app would definitely do that. But maybe she doesn't fly Delta every time and he doesn't want to have, you know, 5 different airline apps installed. And he just wants to, you know, type it in by the flight number, you know, and do a search. Maybe there's other, you know, maybe he doesn't know what type of flight it is, but he knows that, well, I guess you're going to know what type it is by the first letters. But it doesn't seem unreasonable. I don't use a flight tracker app except for, like you said, like if I know I'm flying Delta, I'll install the Delta app. But then when I'm done, I'll uninstall it. If I'm flying United, I'll install the United app. But I don't watch people fly in, though.
Right. I'll first say mahalo, John. I'll also say if you're on the Big Island and you need any auto work whatsoever, John is the guy to check out. I'll love Tiki. He does very high-end auto work. You know, this guy ain't working on crap cars. This guy's working on some beautiful custom rods, is what I'll say.
Well, then I'll never have any business for him because I only drive crap.
I got a car.
I know, but we don't live on the Big Island either. Second, I saw a map from his friend Jonas from the island who sent me a link. I believe it was him sent me a link. And he said, what people think Hawaii is like now, and they showed the Big Island, and they showed lava going from one side of the island to the other, and I guess, and then it was like what was actually going on. And if the island is the size of your hand, the part where the lava was smaller than the fingernail on your pinky. It was so like off in the corner, little spot. Three, I just had dinner last week with, I believe, an Android App Addicts listener who is also a pilot. So my logic is if anybody is going to know a good flight tracking general purpose app, it would either be a pilot or the family member of a pilot. So I'm going to have to ask him. I'm going to ping him, see if he has any results. Because 99% of the time, when there's a plane involved in my life, I'm on it. Not my wife, not anybody else. It's me. So I don't need to be tracking myself.
Yeah, and in my experience, the few times I've been on a plane, nobody cared whether I came out the other side. You know, nobody's waiting to pick me up. My car is parked and I'm driving my cell phone. Yeah. So.
I know Rich has some kind of a server or something hooked up to a mini PC that he does. That might be FlightAware.
Right. Well, no. What that is, he has an antenna on a pole above his garage, which gives him basically line of sight. Florida's a very flat state. And he's running a Raspberry Pi with an application called PiAware. And PiAware basically can monitor all of the planes overhead. And then can tell him in an interface what plane that is, where it's coming from, where it's going, is it on time, you know, information about it. It wouldn't shock me if there's some way to get automatic notifications when X plane shows up in that radar thing. But I don't know if he even lives close enough to an airport to make that worthwhile. I mean, I know Hawaii's not a huge mountainous region, but if he is in a low part, then it might not be even worth his time.
Yeah, there should be somebody in our community that knows.
Since we've been doing things in two, let me read another email from Mike. He says, you talked about Android dialers on episode 505. I have a problem that I've not found a good solution, but curious if anyone else is having the problem and how they solve it. With every dialer out there, Google dialer included, I tend to use favorites tab because I call about the same six folks all the time. My problem is that I've not found a dialer that closes down the app after I complete my call. This caused me to butt dial people on my favorite screen all too often. Why doesn't the Google dialer or any other dialer I have tried, and I've tried a lot looking for this option, give me the option to close the application down after I've ended my call? I've tried an app called On Call End, and it seems to work for a couple of days to take me to the homepage On Call End, and then doesn't work any longer. I've installed it and reinstalled the app, but it's not reliable. Thanks for your show. You guys do a great job, Mike.
Can't say that I've had that issue, and I can't think of why I haven't.
Well, I know why I haven't, because if you ask me what do I use my phone for, making phone calls barely makes the list. So it's just not an issue for me. By the time I'm done, you know, making the phone call and before I put it back in my pocket, I've used 15 other apps. So that's just not an issue for me.
I'll say that's my gimmick. I don't ever call anybody nor even accept phone calls from anybody else. But I do, once I have to call somebody, I do believe as soon as I call somebody, I already hit home. I already went into another app and I already started either taking notes of the phone call or writing a calendar appointment for a phone call or something. So when the phone call ends, it doesn't go right back to the dialer. It goes to whatever I was in last.
Yeah, I actually had to call Menards earlier before the show to see if my special order was in. And I think I just hit the lock button on the side of the phone when I'm done.
So we have to turn to the listening audience. Do you have the same problem that Mike had? And if so, what is your solution? Do you actually use your phone to make phone calls? I've heard that's a thing. All right, Eric, questions. Empty the tank.
Okay, my tank's going to be emptied right here. First one is a Parallax Nature Summer Day XL 3D Gyro Wallpaper by the Code Conditor. I've been running this on my phone for about 2 weeks, and I don't know that I can say I've honestly saw any deterioration in battery life, though I should. It changes with the daylight and the night time. It's just basically a little scene by a creek. And for some reason, somebody's painting a little picture there, and then actually I got to put my own car on that painting, a photo of my choice onto the painting that somebody's painting there. And it moves. It's got, does all the parallax, you know, stuff you'd expect. And butterflies flying around. Because I paid for the extra part that comes with the butterflies and the customization. Anytime the doctor throws one out there, I'm a sucker. I got to buy it and install it.
Very cool. Yes, I will say, apparently he lives in a beautiful area. Nothing at all remotely like the area I live in, I'll just say.
It looks just like my backyard, except for more cartoony. I wouldn't say much.
Yeah, and like all I'll say is, this is years now, people. He obviously understands the math behind parallax as much as anybody else, it seems like. But also, this has to be like app number 8, if not 9. So I'm sure he's figured out how to not completely destroy a battery as well.
I just noticed, I've never looked at it that close, I guess, at night, but there's a big full moon up there and stuff. You don't have to have it go nighttime at night and all that stuff, too. That's just one of the options. The last app in my tank is a game. It's called Deploy and Destroy: Ash vs. Ed by Apps Ministry. Mature 17 up. This is a first-person shooter. Probably the best controls I've used for a first-person shooter. It does really well. I would compare this to Fortnite, basically. It's Fortnite. You and a bunch of other people are just battle to the death.
The old guy in the room, what's Fortnite?
It's basically a last man standing multiplayer first-person shooter. So basically everybody's dropped into a map, and you run around just killing as many people as you can, and you want to be the last one at the end. It's every man for themselves.
And how does this work on like an average-size 5-inch device? Do you need a tablet to do this?
It works really good on my Pixel. The thing that they've got going for them that makes it work a lot better is you're only controlling the movement forward and back, and then you're moving your side to side. But when you get your crosshairs on somebody, it automatically fires, so you don't have to press a fire button. You do have to do reload every now and then, but you don't. I was impressed with the controls, and that's the beauty of the game. It's really really well done. I liked it better than I liked what was that other one? Not Fortnite, but PUBG. PUBG. I like this one better than PUBG. And I've never really played Fortnite before, so maybe that's why I like it more.
Well, right now, PUBG and Fortnite are starting a lawsuit, so neither of them might exist here soon. And for the younger people in the audience, Mark, who is Ash?
It's the Evil Dead guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his actor's name, but I love him. He was the announcer in one of the Spider-Man movies. He was the ring announcer. He's been in all kinds of stuff. I'm just a fan of his. Bruce Campbell.
That's it.
Yeah. So just that alone makes me want to at least download this. I'm not going to lie.
Speaking of Fortnite, did you see what they released into the Fortnite maps now? Shopping carts. Because there's no vehicles in Fortnite, where there is in PUBG. Now you can push a shopping cart and then jump on the back of it and roll around like you would, you know, in the parking lot of Walmart. And I don't know if that's the thing which brought vehicles to Fortnite, which they are now getting sued by PUBG over, but I just thought it was hilarious to watch all these battle tough guys running around on shopping carts.
Yeah, I'll say all software development of any type, including games, half of the assets from any one thing can be considered stolen. That truly unique from ground up development is quite terrific.
Well, they were all stolen from ID Games when they made Doom. I mean, that's where everything started.
Doom, Rise of the Triad. There was a couple back then. They were fun. But, you know, that was when I was 12.
So, yeah, I was playing... Oh, gosh. I didn't realize I was that much older than you. I was playing Doom on a 386 PC in my living room, and the PC was so slow that anytime a new creature was about to come on screen, it would have to pause and load up and render. So I never got that jump scare moment ever in that game, because it'd be, I'm shooting along, pause, okay, there's somebody coming, longer pause, okay, there's multiple somebodies, big pause, all right, we're ready to go, and then I'd go and shoot. So my machine barely had enough. I think it was like a four or five megabyte hard drive, and it could barely, I had to uninstall like Duke Nukem to play Doom, and I have to take Doom off to put Duke Nukem back on. These were the days of early computing.
The hours we spent.
You know, and I'm lying. There's no way I was 12. I didn't even get my first computer until I was late teens, I want to say. Very late teens. And I was playing the games when they were already, I think, I don't want to say old, but older is what I'll say. But I remember I was playing them and I was thinking, yeah, this is cool. But I never felt like I needed to have, you know, 100 people in the same area. In fact, I don't think I would ever want 100. A bit much.
See, I didn't think I didn't play Doom because I thought it was a ripoff of Dungeons and Dragons. Whatever system, TI or Intellivision or whatever system it was, I played Dungeons.
Texas
Instruments.
TSR, TRS.
I didn't have
that. That's Tandy.
No,
TRS.
I didn't have that one. It must have been Texas Instruments then, because I did have
the TI-99.
4A, yeah, no. TI-99 4A with a speech synthesizer. Yeah.
I had the Tandy model, Tandy TRS-80 Model 2 color computer, 16 bits of color.
I wanted the Timex Sinclair 1000, but I never did get that. I thought that was so cool, being small.
All right, is that the end of your tank,
My
sir?
My tank is empty. Thank you for the relief.
All right, door, next.
Oh, yeah, and I'll say these graphics do look good on this game. I like when games allow for minimal button pressing, yet you still have a full experience, I'll say.
So it's Ash versus Evil Dead. I didn't know what ED stood for.
Right.
Next one I'm going to bring here is another one that I immediately sent to my son because it's available on the Nintendo Switch. And, of course, on the Nintendo Switch, it costs more money. It is called Animal Super Squad Double Moose Games Adventure E for Everyone, $4.99 to buy, 225 reviews, 4.7 average reviews. Updated May 17th, 2018, 21 megs, 1,000 plus installs, version 1.1.0, 5.1 Android or up. And this is eligible for the family library, which I think is plus. I buy it once, and then everyone in my group can play it. It's available on Switch, PS4, and Steam, aka everywhere, is what I'll say. This is a weird game, is the best way I could put it. It's a physics-based adventure game that lets you play as your favorite animal and speed through a world full of dangers and bananas.
The first part of the video is a chicken with wheels, a chicken with wheels on it, and then there's just like a fried chicken later with no wheels as the game character. Looks pretty fun. It looks funny and fun.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle adventure. You know, think of Mario with extreme ADHD. Yes.
Well, that was called Sonic.
True. I would say like Mario and Rube Goldberg machinery again a little bit because you're bouncing all over the place. I guess you're not setting it up though, but
yeah. And I see a little bit of Donkey Kong Country as well, where you get inside of barrels and get shot at barrels. So they borrowed a whole bunch of other mechanics, I'll say, in this one. And my logic is, if it's available on all these different platforms, it has to at least be moderately good.
There's that lava again. Now, this is a really good looking. Is it free?
No, it's $5.
Okay, yeah.
So if you have if you have some Google Opinion Rewards money sitting there burning a hole in your pocket, it might be a good one.
Looks like it's definitely worth $5. Great reviews too.
Now this next one I'm going to bring. Okay, I'm going to have to bring this one too. I'm not going to lie, people. Once in a while, I stumble across something, even though it's years old, literally years old. And I stumble across it, and then I become habitually addicted to it. The latest thing is called Stardew Valley, which is basically a reimagining of an old game on Super Nintendo called Harvest Moon. There's no real simple way to define what Stardew Valley is as a game because it's what you make of it. You can spend your entire time making it a farming simulator, which has SimCity-like dimensions and buildings and crafting to it. Or you can spend your time in a relationship simulator, gifting things to the townsfolk and making friends with them and eventually marrying them if you want. Or you can make it a fishing expedition where you go, you get a fishing rod, you level up your fishing skill, you try to get all the different types of fishes and set new records. Or you can make it a mining exploration game where you can go into a cave, you get a sword, a pickaxe, and you have to go down in levels and break rocks, find precious materials, get better weapons, get harder enemies, keep going down the level. Or you can do none of that and just spend the whole time foraging goods around the area and selling things that you find.
Sounds like a very limiting game.
It's the worst thing about the game is it's made by literally one person. One guy made the entire game years ago. His company name is Concerned Ape, which I think is a great name. It's got to be a great name.
Wait, wouldn't that be a Harry Reasoner?
Yes. The worst thing about the game is every day you start, you have a limited amount of energy, and you can only use so much energy unless you buy things from the bar. You can buy bar food, pizzas and stuff. There's also a arcade machine in the arcade where if you want to, every day you just go there and just play arcade games all day, and they're really hard. But every day there's never enough time. 10 minutes goes away in like 7 seconds, 6 in the morning till about midnight, then you pass out at like 2 a.m. so you got to be in bed before then. There's never enough time in the day. There's never enough energy in the day for what you could get done that day. So every morning when you wake up, and that's the only time the game saves in the morning, like when you sleep overnight, you level up, you can put things in a thing for sale, and then the morning starts, and there's never enough time to do everything that you could do in one day, ever. So there's no perfect way to play the game. you just pick your thing and you just play it. And I have problems stopping playing.
Is this all text-based, this game?
Nope.
Okay, so so the screenshots don't tell me. I'm glad you explained this game, because looking at the screenshots, I would never have guessed it was anything like that to this game. And then it's put in the books and reference.
Right, so this isn't the game. This is the wiki for the game.
Yeah, basically this is an appified version of a wiki webpage. And there's 28 days in every season, 4 seasons, and every day there's specifically timed events, whether it be somebody's birthday or whether it be a festival, a town festival. So every day, certain things are going to happen. Certain things can happen. Certain things might happen. It's a top-down game that looks considerably old compared to today's standard, I'll say. But it just, it's maniacally fun, is the way I'll put it.
So do you have a link for the game itself?
No, right now I'm playing it on Nintendo Switch. Okay. You can also play it on Steam and on every place else. I know I just go like this and just type Stardew Valley Steam and there'll be a link right there. I can put in the chat at least. And the good thing, here's why Steam is a better service when you just want to look at games, because by default, there's no audio on the video that launches. That alone makes me want to give this company money. But yeah, as soon as you go to the page, there's the video where they're chopping down trees, tilling the land, picking up grass, planting seeds, it just keeps going on and on and on.
I'll take your word for it. I can't. It sounds like your kind of game. Top down, old school look.
Well, yeah. Looks like Link.
Yeah, I'll just say it's a kind of game that if you have no interest before I said anything, never go look at the game ever, because your time is worth a lot more. Because this game is only $15. You will easily, if you play even a couple times, probably throw away hundreds of dollars of your time into playing this game.
Well, any game, really.
Did he just bone a goat?
No, pet it. You can have farm animals. You walk up to them.
Because that's really not what it looked like at all.
I'm promising you. If you show your animals affection on a daily basis, walk up to them and pet
them. Affection.
They will produce more either eggs, wool, milk, or whatever. Where if you ignore them, they don't produce as much. Just like, you know, I would think real farm animals, if they get no interactions.
Yes. I sing to my plants.
Anybody's paying attention, that's a great show title, by the way. Did he just bone a goat?
Yeah, and like, you can't go in anyone's bedroom in the beginning of the game unless you do the relationship thing, give them gifts, talk to them, be nice to them. Then you can basically walk into their house like a friend. There's a lot. And there's a drunk. Her name's Pam. She drives the bus. Anytime you give her beer, she's your friend.
Nice. All right, man. You sold me.
There's also a homeless guy who you catch in someone's trash can, and he wants for nothing. You cannot have a relationship with him because he doesn't want to be tied down. He is choosing to live in the woods in a tent because he wants to be free. And you just once in a while stop, talk to him, give him a piece of food, he'll love you. Because, you know, he's homeless.
Okay, next.
This isn't as old school looking as I had expected, now that I'm watching the video.
It's like a weird combination.
It is, yeah. It's
like Farmville and Legend of Zelda and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff just slammed together.
All right, I don't think I can in good conscience let you bring another app after you've done that one. I think I just need to rescind your app privileges for a week. So I will let a listener bring an app. How about that? Aaron writes in to say, "Hey guys, I found this app through Flow Free Hexes. It's called WordCross. I've been watching the ads, the optional ads in Flow Free to support the developer as I work my way towards the Play for 365 Days achievement in the app. This is a simple word puzzle game with a UI where they give you a set of letters and you drag your thumb from letter to letter to write words. Think Boggle meets crossword puzzles, or as I'm saying, the swipe app. This is a free app with an occasional ad that you can turn off the sound and music, which is great for when I listen to podcasts while gaming on my phone. Keep up the great work, guys. Love the show. Cheers, Aaron in Ontario, Canada. And then he writes a follow-up. Just a little update. I'm loving the game, but I hated the ads. As I progressed further, the ads would show up every few puzzles and they're loud and would stop my podcast audio. So I threw them $3 of my Google Rewards credits to remove the ads. If I get an ad, a game with ads like that, I uninstall the game. That's a hard stop for me.
But if a game's worth it, man, you know, I was never sure. I'm glad to hear that Google Rewards works in Canada. So that's cool.
I'm not going to disagree with Aaron nor Mark. What I'll say is, as an app developer, what I would do the very first time an ad pops up is I would literally put a message on the screen and say, this is the very first ad you're going to see. If you choose to pay X amount, this is the result. You know, some ads, less ads, no ads, whatever. And then basically have an agree button right there. And I would not start the ad until you hit agree. Because that first ad can be very jarring in any experience. And, you know, they should understand, no app developer that I see understands the term onboarding process. You don't just slam an ad in somebody and then expect them to go out of their way to find out how to get rid of the ads. You need to give them the path to get rid of the ads.
And most commonly, in my experience, the ones that have the loud, annoying, obnoxious ads, you can't pay to make them go away. And so that's when it's a hard stop for me. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. I really like this game, but I'm not going to play it because this is the way you've chosen to do it. If I can pay to make the ads go away, I don't mind that. But so many things, you have to pay and see ads.
Yeah, and I'm so bad at spelling games and spelling. It's a non-starter. I can't.
This is fun, I think. Crosswords.
Yeah, I think I could definitely play that. All right, let me review the apps. There are many of them tonight. YouTube Music by Google LLC. Google Play Games by Google LLC. Goodreads Beta by Goodreads. Smartphone Tycoon by Roastery Games. Carrot Weather Unreleased by Grailer LLC. Jurassic World Alive by Ludia Inc. Product Hunt by Product Hunt. Death Coming by Next Studio. Parallax Nature Summer Day XL 3D Gyro Wallpaper by Code Condit. Deploy and Destroy Ash vs. Evil Dead by Apps Ministry. Animal Super Squad by Double Moose Games. Wiki for Stardew Valley Game by Teddy Dev. And Wordscapes by People Fun.
Teddy Dev and People Fun.
13 apps. When we miss a week, we make it up for you by coming back with an hour and a half podcast afterward.
Yeah.
We give you your money's worth, people.
And I'm sorry about missing, but I did find my mobile podcasting unit. So I'm back in business. If I do have a day, I wouldn't have been able to make it either time, though, last 2 weeks, even with it.
And lastly, I want to thank David for his Patreon pledge. Thank you so much, David, for you and those like you who choose to support our podcast by throwing money at us. Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. And the second best thing you can do paying money is telling other people about us. If you like the show, if you like what you do, what we do, tell people about it. If you don't like the show, don't tell people about it. That's how that works. But we appreciate everybody who donates to this podcast in any way, whether that's money, whether that's time, whether that's content, or simply being our own marketing department. You are the engine that drives this enterprise, and we thank you for it.
Yeah, and I would say, if you listen to a show and you feel like it isn't giving you everything that you want every episode, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. Nolan Ryan is the example I'll pull out. One of the greatest pitchers in the history of the game of baseball, and people hit home runs off of him. To expect perfection in anything you consume is, to me, foolhardy, and you're just planning to be upset. So once in a while, when apps are light, We're going to do a lot of yapping, whether it be Cobra Kai. And if you don't like us talking about Cobra Kai, go listen to something else. Go listen to somebody who doesn't know what the word libertarian is. Go listen to somebody who doesn't know what DuckDuckGo is. Go listen to people that don't know anything about technology. Go listen to people that didn't grow up with technology. Go listen to people that aren't doing it out of the sheer passion for doing it. And listen to people who constantly sell you as a product to other people.
And my additional comment on that is anybody can talk about apps. And lots of people do. And lots of people do it badly. The only thing we have to offer that other people don't is us. And so, you know, the thing that we do that may be annoying to you is the only thing we have to offer above anybody else. Anybody can give you a list of apps. The Play Store gives you a list of apps. What we give you is us. And if you don't like us, that's fine. Lots of people don't like us. There are days I don't like us. That's fine. But then just, you know, this is the podcast for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And we're never going to blame anything on this podcast because of Ambien.
Not yet. It's always, you know, hey, I do. Comcast doesn't like us, or doesn't like me anyway. I got my first pop-up I've ever seen like this where it told me I've reached my limit of bandwidth.
Yes.
Have you guys ever got that from you guys?
Yeah, Comcast has a terabyte, and they let you know about
it. Well, so I'm going to give a shameless plug for a coupon code that I have, because I know that this is why. I've been using that Philo app or Philo service, right? A cord cutter service. Mm-hmm. And I've got a referral code R3VFJ4T, and it'll save you $5 off your first month, and it'll save me $5 off a month. But I know that I can't believe that this made that big of a difference. And I kind of wonder if they sniff and say, oh, this guy's now streaming live, you know, streaming TV from a place where I didn't before. I don't know. I really just can't think that we use that much more than normal.
HDTV comes in at roughly a gigabyte per hour.
Yeah, maybe. They said I got 2 more months to knock it off, and then they'll start charging. Have you guys ever had to pay extra to Comcast for that?
No, I've never hit my I've never went over. I'm now on AT&T. I bumped up against it a couple of times, but I never went over it.
Yeah, I will lose a foot if I have to give Comcast another dime for the remainder of my life. I've been on Fios for a decade. Oh. We stream multiple hours of content every night. I do this when I do this. I never got any warning about any usage whatsoever. And here's the problem, Eric. It's like the water company or the electric company, in the sense of you have to trust their numbers. The only way you can get accurate numbers about what you're using is if you literally have one single device between your router and the internet, and you literally do your own monitoring and counting on that device. Now, here's what I'll say. You are a house that has the possibility of having Windows computers and Mac computers. What I would encourage you to do is to just do a scan on those computers, because a lot of times, a lot of people I know, when they get things from their ISP complaining about over usage, a fair amount of times there's an infection on at least one of those computers that are literally sucking bandwidth down with reckless abandon.
It's possible. Luckily for me, though, I also live in a town where fiber to the home is being offered by the city, but the build-out will not happen probably soon enough for me to... Can I just give Comcast an extra $10 and never have to worry about...
$10 per gigabyte.
just an extra $10 and not have to worry about an overage, you know what I'm saying? Or $15, I'll give them that. It's
$10 per gigabyte when you go over.
Why are we here?
Well, and if you're worried about sniffing, the only thing you can do is, again, set up that one box between, or get an upgraded router where you can set up a VPN and say anything coming from these IP addresses, filter through this VPN. As long as you have DNS also on those boxes set to go through a secure DNS, then your ISP will not know what you're streaming. They'll just see a lot of traffic.
Yeah, that's too smart for me.
My information is wrong. It's $10 for 50 gigabytes, not per gigabyte. So they'll give you 50 gigs for $10 with a maximum charge of $200.
Oh, okay. Well, so that'll be, yeah. Yeah, they know me. I try to get the cheapest. Sooner the better. We'll be off of Comcast.
So when I was on Comcast, I was paying $100 a month for their highest speed. And so a max of 200. So that's it. I mean, it's all you can eat for $200 a month.
I just need to go out and get 45% of my neighborhood to sign in to the fiber nets they build here first. That's what I need to do.
Awesome. If you can get AT&T fiber, I highly recommend it. $89 a month.
That's why the city's putting their own fiber in, because Comcast is the only deal in town, is the only offer that's here. So
I would wear an AT&T fiber hat. I mean, I believe in their service that much. After Christmas, like December 28th, and it's been perfect ever since.
Yeah, I'll say since switching to Fios, I've had to only call them up one time.
What speed are you guys subscribed at? A gig up and down?
Gigabit, yeah.
I never
actually get a gig, but, you know, I can't really whine about the fact that I'm only getting 800
right.
gigs.
Right, no, I understand.
Well, that's the classic. You buy a terabyte hard drive, you format it, you don't have a terabyte.
Right.
Same kind of thing. You'll never get that, but you'll at least approach it, is the logic.
All right. Yeah. Well, I guess I'm coming. I'll be with you guys soon, hopefully, on that.
Well, I don't have fiber. I have, I think it is 250 up down.
Oh, okay. That's my options. For $75 a month, I get 250 up and down. For $125, I get a gig.
Yeah, so for my average over the last 60 days, the Google Wi-Fi app tells me, is 603 megs down and 855 up is my average.
On your Wi-Fi. Nice.
Yeah, well, that's at the entry point.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because, yeah, I'm going from the AT&T router straight into my Google Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay, that Google Wi-Fi. Okay, yep.
Yeah, and I'll say, if this is any example, I use over 60 gigs every month on my phone. So I'm pretty sure we're using a hell of a lot at the house.
I could pull the stats somewhere, but I don't have it right now. But yeah, we're definitely bumping up against a terabyte on a regular basis. My house full of five.
As will everybody soon, I think.
Yeah. The thing about the streaming TV, if you're a cord cutter, most of those apps don't want to shut off. Like PlayStation View, my biggest complaint about it is it's hard to actually turn it off.
You know, you're right. And Chromecast never shuts off either. Those Chromecasts, if you're streaming something and you like walk into another room or outside or whatever, that thing just keeps streaming away, you know, even if the TV's off.
And if you're on a cap, that's a big issue. You got to take steps to make that stop.
All right. I guess I got to do some work for two more months or whatever, how long it takes. That's all right.
All right. I'm calling it time of death, 10:53 p.m. 5:31:18. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Eric, any final words of wisdom before we say goodnight?
No, those were my words of wisdom.
All right. And Dor, you get the last word.
Email at aaa@podnuts.com. Voicemail, you can send us a voicemail at 7076podnut. If you want your voice heard on the podcast, any and all feedback is appreciated, even if I don't reply. Because, you know, we all got lives.
Thanks, everybody. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is everyday tech for everyday people. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.